We're going to be learning Likutei Sichas Chelek Chavav, the first sicha for Parshas Tzvatim. And it's a siyum on Maseches Bava Basra, both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. So in the last Mishnah, Maseches Bava Basra, it speaks about the laws of a guarantor. And the Mishnah tells us that a guarantor which signs before the shtar is finished, meaning he signs that I'm the guarantor, and then you have the edim signing below. So of course that's a valid guarantor, and you could even, if the loiva doesn't pay, then you can collect then all of his property is liened. So if he doesn't pay, if the loiva doesn't pay, you can even collect from property that the arav had already sold. His property is considered mortgaged and liened to this loan, and therefore it could be collected. Then the Mishnah continues, but if the Arav only put his name down after the Edom already signed, then if the Loiva doesn't pay, you can only collect from the Bnei Chayrin of the Arav, only property that he currently has when the loan became due. And the reasoning is because since he only put his name down after the Edom already signed, there's no koil. There's no koil, there's no It's not public, basically. It's not considered public that people would know. So if the Edom signed first, then this that his property is liened, it's considered public knowledge, and whoever buys it at their own risk. But if he only put his name down after the Edom already signed, then it's not considered public knowledge that he is the guarantor. Therefore, you can't collect for any property that he sold. You can only collect from property that he currently has. The Mishnah continues that Ma'aseh Bal Lifnei Rabbi Shmuel. The story happened that individual came, this story came, happened and came in front of Shmuel, and the person was an Arav, but he only put his name down after the Shtar was already signed. So he says, of course, you only collect from the Menachas B'nei. So Ben Anas replied, no, that's incorrect. You don't collect from the Menachas Mushabadim, and you do not collect from the B'nai Chayrin. In other words, he's saying that an Arav that puts his name down after the Red Edom already signed is not, it's not a valid Arav. And his basic premise is, he's saying, is that when he put his name into the shtar, he never meant to obligate himself. Never meant to obligate himself. It seems like maybe the malva was harassing the loiva. He was feeling uncomfortable. Therefore, the arif, to help out, put his name down, but it's not considered enough to actually obligate him. And he gives an example, and he defends his ruling, and he tells him, Yishmol, I'll give you an example. Let's say one person was strangling a loiva in the shuk, and his friend sees what's going on, and he says, leave him alone. I'll give you the money. So the halacha is your pater. Why? Shlai al manasa hilvahu. Because he the money wasn't lent based on the arif. The money was already lent at a prior moment in time, and this that the arif is saying, or this individual saying that I will guarantee that the loan is being paid, it's considered that he's only doing it to try to save this loiva from being strangled. He's not actually taking the obligation upon himself. He's only doing a mitzvah. He's trying to help out. He's not literally taking on this loan. And he wants to say, Ben Anas, that the same thing any time when the Arav signs and takes on the obligation after the shtar is already given, since the money has already been given, he wasn't an essential part of this loan. So this that he puts himself on later, it wasn't to obligate himself in the loan, it was just to assist in some way. So in the Mishnah of the sign that Bishmal says, whoever wants to become smart, they should work in Dinei Mamonis, because you don't have any other section of Torah as great as Dinei Mamonis. Because it's like a mayim, it's like a wellspring that flows, and a person that wants to be Isaac in Dinei Mamonis, he should serve Shimon ben Anas. In other words, Bishmal was praising the wisdom of Shimon ben Anas. If you look in the Gemara says, Papael, that Amar Rabba bar Barchana Rabbi Yechanan, even though Afa Pisha Kilus Rabbi Yishmol is ben Anas, even though Rabbi Yishmol praise Ben Anas, halacha k'moyseh, halacha is still like Rabbi Shmuel. So b'peil, we have machlokes, Ben Anas and Rabbi Shmuel, if you could become an Arav once the shtar has already been signed. Rabbi Shmuel says you can become an Arav, Ben Anas says you can't, and Rabbi Yochanan passes that the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel. So then the Gemara asks, but what about this case of Chanuk when he's being strangled? What does Rabbi Shmuel say in that case? Yes, the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel said it clearly, that if the Arav signs afterwards, after the Edom, he's still going to be chayev. But in a situation where the guy's, someone's being strangled in the market, and then he says, and an individual sees what's going on and says, I will guarantee the loan, what's the story then? Is he really taking this obligation upon himself? Meaning he sees that his friend is in tsar, and therefore he honestly takes upon himself this shibud, or he's really just trying to save the guy. He's not really taking on the obligation. So the Rabbi Yochanan says again, Rabbi Shmuel says is halacha even by Chanuk. So the Mar says, so the halacha like him even by Chanuk or not? So the Mar says that Rabbi Yochanan teaches that Rabbi Shmuel argued af b'chanuk, and the halacha is k'moisi af b'chanuk. So b'kitzer, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, and even in a situation where it's chanuk and the person takes the obligation upon himself, we assume that he's taking on the obligation with a full heart, and he's really obligating himself, and therefore he would be considered an arv. Then the Gemara continues. And the next piece of the Gemara, there's actually two ways of understanding it. I'm going to first say the way the Rebbe learns in the Pnim, and then he'll mention the second way the other Rishayim learn it on the bottom. So the Gemara continues that Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, Chanuk Mekonim Miyadei Mishtabin. He says that in the situation where a person's being strangled, and the Ariv comes and says, I will be his Arv, I'll be his guarantor, and then there's a Kinyan, then the Shibud takes place. So Shmuel basically paskins. Argues. So Rabbi Yochanan says the halachas are kibishmal that you could be able to become a ariv in these types of situations. According to Rabbi Shmuel, he says no, you can't become an ariv just by saying that you're going to be an ariv. Rather, you actually need to make a kinyan. In other words, like this: in the Mishnah B'Pashtus, it seems like the argument between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Nanis was when they didn't make a kinyan, where the shtar has already been written, and then afterwards the ariv takes on the obligation to be the ariv. But there was no actual kinyan being made. So therefore, the machlekes, was he sincere or not? Rabbi Shmuel says the person's sincere. Rabbi Nana says he's not sincere, he's just doing it to help. Once you're making a kinyan is a real legal mechanism to become obligated in this shibud. So therefore, everybody would agree. Both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Nana would agree that if you make a kinyan, that's a real obligation. Then you would, taka would be chayv. So it sounds like Shmuel, so Yehuda Mishmuel is arguing, and he's saying the halacha is not like Rabbi Shmuel in the case of Chanuk. So basically, the halacha would be like Rabbi Shmuel in the case of Achar Chitim Shtars, but in the case of Chanuk, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shmuel. Rather, the halacha would be like Bananas, and therefore you cannot become an Arv unless you actually make a Kinyan. And then the Gemara continues, it quotes Rabbi Nachman, and it says, the Hilchasa, the halacha is Arv b'shas matan mois loy by kinyan. If you become a arv at the time that the money is being given over, meaning is right at the time of the loan, then you don't need a kinyan. But if it's after matan mois, but once the money's been given, meaning it's already after the loan, whether it's whether it could be right away, or if the person's strangling, whether again it could be much later and the person's being strangled in the marketplace, or it could be right after the money is given, then this person wants to become a harv, then you would need a kinyan. So in other words, we're passing like, according to the final halacha, we passing like bananas in all scenarios. That unless it's b'shas matamois, where everybody agrees you don't need a kinyan, once you're put into the shtar, you would not need a kinyan. But once the shtar has already been finalized, then you would need a kinyan. So that's the first way of learning it, that Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is b'shmol, while shmol and the halacha is that the halacha is like bananas. Second way of understanding the Gemara is a bit different. That they want to say that Shmuel, everybody holds that the halacha is Rabbi Shmuel, and the argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel and the halacha would just be what was the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan holds the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is that you don't need a kinyan. According to Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel always holds that the machlokes in the Mishnah was that everyone agrees that you need a kinyan after the money is being given. And the machlekes says that according to Bishmol, if there's a kinyan after the money's been given, after the shtar has been signed, so according to Bishmol, if you make a kinyan, then you could become an arab. And same thing, if the person's being chanuk, he's being strangled, and you make a kinyan, then your taco would be fine. Mashenka and Korta bananas, even if you make a kinyan new ipater. That the chiddush is that bananas is even when there's a kinyan, we assume that you're not really taking this obligation upon yourself and you're just trying to do a mitzvah to help this person out. So even with the kinyan, we're assuming that it's not a real legal mechanism to obligate yourself, which is big chiddush. That's the second way of learning that Korta bananas, even with the kinyan, you're not taking it on. And the halacha is not only by the time of Chanukah. So Shmuel said that's only when he's being chanuk you need a kinyan. While the halacha would be, b'payol, that if it's before the money is given, then you don't need a kinyan, kuliyama. And if the money's already been given, then we pass in Rabbi Shmuel that you could become an arv as long as there is a kinyan. Mashein concord, and we do not pass in like bananas that says that even with the kinyan, it won't help. Okay, so b'payol, what's the main point? The main point is we're seeing that according to the Bavli, the halacha is that once the shtar has been signed, or at least after matan mois, you need to have a kinyan in order to become an arv. That's the maskana. Either that's bananas is a shita according to the first way of learning, that the gemara is passing like the bananas, or according to the second way, we're passing like Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel is the one that says that you need a kinyan, while bananas says it wouldn't even help. But the maskanas inyan, it's the same thing either way. The point is, halacha l'maisa, the Bavli holds that an arv acher kitan shtars needs a kinyan. So if we look in the Yerushalmi brings the same idea that Rabbi Yochanan says that the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, but it doesn't mention anything about Shmuel or the halacha. It doesn't say anything about that. So the mashmais is that according to the Yerushalmi, you don't need a kinyan. According to the Bavli, maskanas, you need a kinyan. But according to the Yerushalmi, no, we pass him like Rabbi Yochanan, like how Rabbi Yochanan explained it, and therefore you would not need a kinyan. And then the Yerushalmi does bring something else there. It does bring one other idea for the end of the Masech that says that Omri Rabbi Yosi, the At Shema Mina, the Rabbi Yochanan says that we learn from here, Shema Mina, we learn from here that Abarnash, the Havitzai Lechavre, the Abarnash, which was ambushing his friend, hunting his friend Bashuka in the marketplace, right? Basically, he's like similar to the idea of strangling. He's chopped him. He's hunting him. And Asachad Vamar Shapke Benayav, and an individual came and says, "Leave him alone. I will pay instead of him." Min ahan gavay umin ahan lagavay. That from this person you collect, and from that person you don't collect. So what is Rabbi Yosi trying to say? Rabbi Yochanan just said the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel that we do not need. That you could become an Arav after the Chitim Shtaris, and you do not need a Kinyan. And then Rabbi Yosi says that we learn from this halacha, this particular idea, that if you say to somebody that you see a loiva is being strangled in the market, and you say that you'll pay, then you collect from him and you don't collect from the other one. What is Rabbi Yosi trying to say? And it's actually very not clear, and the Mefarshei Yerushalmi have different ways of learning it. And the Rebbe is going to be mechadesh a new way. So the first way the Rebbe brings, this is in the Pnim, it brings from the Pnei Moshe. The Pnei Moshe wants to say is that Rabbi Yosi is coming to argue on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is saying the halachas are to be Shmuel. And Rabbi Yosi says back that no, that's incorrect. He says because he's saying it doesn't make sense. He says because according to you, Shema Minah, and here we'd learn that if an individual comes and becomes an Arev, that would mean that you would collect from him and not collect from his friends. That seems very strange, because why is the Arev taking on this obligation? He's not really being miskaven to take on the obligation. He was only trying to save this individual, to suffer mitzvah of it. He doesn't, but man nasis that bal chayv shalai. This is the lashon of the Pnei Moshe. With what does he become the bal chayv? The loy hay miskaven lahatzel zeh. His kavanah was only to save this individual. The Ksavar Mitzvah Kavit. So the Pnei Moshe wants to say, Rabbi Yosi is arguing and saying that according to that he basically saying like bananas, that he's not trying to really take on the obligation, rather he's just trying to do a mitzvah, therefore he should not be obligated. So he's arguing on Rabbi Yochanan, and basically he's passing in like the maskan of the Bavli, that you would need that just saying you'll take on the obligation wouldn't help, but in Achnam, if you mamish made a kinyan, that taka would help. But then we know he's serious. The problem with this is that's a very big deichik to explain this way in the words of Rabbi Yosi, because what is Rabbi Yosi's main point? The main point of Rabbi Yosi, all he's trying to say is, is that the person never really took on an obligation. He's just trying to do a mitzvah. He doesn't really have intent to obligate himself to become to a guarantor. He says, so what is it, what does Rabbi Yossi mean that from this one you collect and this one you don't collect? Why would, in a regular situation of an Arif, you collect from both? You still can collect from the life, and if you can't pay, you can take from the Arif. It doesn't automatically mean that you can only collect from the Arif. So what does Rabbi Yossi mean, aha gavya, I mean, aha loy gavya? And as the Pnei Moshe actually says, what does those mean? It means that you're only allowed to collect only from the Arif and not from the loyva. But why? Why would Rabbi Yossi say that? That doesn't make any sense. All Rabbi Yossi needed to say was that since he's planning on doing a mitzvah, therefore he never becomes really obligated. So therefore he says, that's what really what he said. It should have said that you don't collect from the malva because he's not really, sorry, you don't collect from the loiva because he doesn't really mean to take on any responsibility. What does this mean? That you can only collect from the Arav now and not from the loiva? Why would, what, A, what does that have to do with anything? Why is that even relevant? His main point is that you don't, that the Arav does not mean to take on obligation. And more importantly, why would Rabbi Yossi say that you're not allowed to collect from the loiva? Why is Rabbi Yossi assuming that that was the intention of Rabbi Yochanan? Say the law is Rabbi Yishmael, that you're not allowed to collect from the loiva. Where did he get that from? Rabbi Yochanan's words? Where did he get that from? Rabbi Yishmael's words? It doesn't make any sense. And second of all, the words of Rabbi Yossi is really just repeating the words of Bananas. So why? So would you just say that? No, the halacha is like Bananas. His tamiya is basically the same things Rabbi Bananas is saying. That Hari Chaynik's Echad B'Shuk. So what he's eating Machadish? He's just telling us that Bananas is arguing on Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Yochanan is saying the halacha is Rabbi Shmuel, and he's saying the halacha is Rabbi Bananas. So why are you asking this in a way of a question? Because according to him, basically, you have to read it as that minaha gavya, minaha lai gavya, you can only allow to collect from the Arab and you're not allowed to collect from the life of why? The Arab never really meant to take an obligation upon himself. You're basically saying the same thing as the Mishnah of Bananas. So just say that it's Bananas. Therefore, this shot is very difficult to say in the Gemara. Second explanation the Rebbe brings in Ara 24 and 25, he brings a Noyim Ali Melech, sorry, a Noyim Yerushalmi. Noyim Ali Yerushalmi. That wants to explain that a very different way of learning it. He says like this, that Rabbi Yossi is trying to explain, he's not arguing Rabbi Yechon, he's trying to explain Rabbi Yechon. But Rabbi Yossi understands the Yerushalmi, understands the word Rabbi Yechonon, that it's agreeing with the Bavli, that you need a kinyan. In order for this to work, of course, you need a kinyan. Rabbi Yechanan says you don't need a kinyan. All you need to say is that you're being mishabed him, that you're willing to be mishabed yourself to become this person's arv. But there's no kinyan, so the chayr that shouldn't work. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is trying to tell us, how does it work? He says, Elamai, how is it working? It's working is that he's not really being an Arif. He's not becoming this person's guarantor. How it's working is he's telling Malva that you should forgive this person's debt and I will take on the obligation instead. I'm taking the obligation instead of this Leiva. So then here it's not a case of a guarantor. A guarantor can only be either if you make a kinyan right now, or he has to be there, b'shas matan mois, then he can become an arv even without any money, because at that point of time, we know that he's being serious, he wants to become a guarantor. But now, when it's already much later, the only way for him to become a guarantor without actually giving money is by him causing the malve to have a loss, saying, forgive this person's loan, and I will take the obligation. So if you're causing the loiva to be potter, then obviously you're serious. That's an assumption. If you're causing this person to lose his money, saying, forgive him, don't collect him, and I'll take on the obligation, then you're not just doing a mitzvah to try to push him off. You're clearly taking on the obligation. So this is what Rabbi Yossi is trying to say, that what happened over here is, what he's saying a statement, that in this type of situation, how does it work? That if he comes into the market and says, I'm going to give, what he's trying to say is, forgive him completely, and I'll take the obligation upon myself. And therefore, you can't collect from the loiva, because the loiva has been forgiven. And now the only one you can collect from is the Arif, because now he's the new Baal Chayv. But the Rebbe says in the Aris that the problem with this pshat is, That's not the Pashtus of the Gemara and the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a guarantor. Here, you're actually not a guarantor. A guarantor means that you have a loiva, and then you have a guarantor says that if he can't pay, I'm going to take over the obligation. But the loiva always remains someone who's going to be chayav to pay. It's just if he can't pay the arvis, so if at some later point the loiva gets money, the guarantor could collect from him. He can demand the money back. Or if the the time you get to the mala goes to the arv, and the time he before he's able to collect from the arv, all of a sudden the leiva has money, he can go back to the leiva and get paid. But what you were saying is that the leiva becomes completely pater, and this person takes on the obligation on himself. So this is not a case of an arv. He's not a guarantor anymore. Now, right now, he is the one who's obligated to pay. He's really the debtor at this point in time, so it's not really what the Gemara is talking about. There's a third pshat. The Rebbe doesn't bring this at all in the arse, but it's brought in the as one of the Mefarshei, I forgot which one of the Mefarshei Yerushalmi on the Daf. He says another pshat. Again, this is similar that he's trying to explain Rabbi Yochanan, or he's giving a chiddush based on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's saying is that a person is able to become a guarantor even after the money's already been given. Right? Because a person is able to be mashabin himself to somebody else. So Yehuda says, based on this, if you have somebody that's chasing after somebody else in the market, and he's saying, you owe me money, or you need to pay me money. And the truth is, this second guy doesn't owe him anything. He doesn't owe him any money. But he's strangling him, he's chasing him, he's hunting him. So a person that sees what's going on says, you know what, I can't handle this. Okay, you know what, whatever you say he owes you, I'll pay. So in this situation, Rabbi Yehuda says, this new guy will be chayef, but the original guy actually won't become chayef because he never actually owed anything. So what we're saying is that a person could, that because what's the chiddush of Rabbi Shmuel? That a person, because of the tsar, he sees someone in pain, and because of the tsar of the second individual, he becomes so emotional, and he wants to save him so much, he'll obligate himself to pay. So if you're going to obligate yourself to pay, it has actually nothing to do with the loan. It has to do with that you're trying to save somebody's life, or you're trying to save this guy from being beaten. So if you're, and since you care about this person, you're really going to obligate yourself because you want to save him. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is telling us that even in this type of situation where the guy Taka didn't owe anything, but it has nothing to do with him owing anything or not. It has to do with you're trying to save him. Therefore, in a situation where a person's just being chased and he doesn't Taka owe anything, and then you say, I'll pay, he can collect from you because you obligated yourself, but he won't be able to collect from the original person because that original person never owed him anything. That's an interesting shot Rabbi Yossi is saying. He's not arguing Rabbi Yochanan. He's not explaining Rabbi Yochanan, but he's giving a chiddush based on Rabbi Yochanan's words. The Rebbe doesn't bring this pshat, but Pashtus, again, you can give the same issue, that in this type of scenario, again, this person's not an Arif. The Gemara is talking about a situation of an Arif, and the Chayor, this is not nothing to do with a Arif. This person's taking on an obligation to save somebody, but that has nothing to do with an Arif. So therefore, the Rebbe wouldn't want to explain that way. The Rebbe doesn't bring it down. So, you could argue that Rabbi Yossi is not necessary. You could argue with my upshlag to say that not necessarily. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, they're talking about an arv. And Rabbi Yossi is just trying to give a chiddush based on what Rabbi Yochanan said. And the chiddush has nothing to do with an arv. It's more based on the logic and the reasoning behind Rabbi Yochanan's psak halacha. And therefore, he's saying, based on your thing, this particular case would be true. So you could argue with my thing, but I think the main reason, maybe the Rebbe doesn't like it, because again, we're trying to focus on cases which are talking about an arv. So Rabbi Yossi's Bapasha is also talking about an arv, and not talking about a very zaitika case or zaitika chiddush, which is not directly connected with the alei din, which the Mishnah and the Gemara are discussing. Okay, so let's just recap, and then we'll go into the explanation of the Rebbe. We have two questions. First of all, it seems like there's a machlokes between the Bavli and the Yishalmi. The Bavli says the halacha is that after chitim shtaris, you need a kinyan. Mashenken, the Bavli doesn't say anything. It sounds like the halacha is you don't need a kinyan. Rabbi Yechon and Pasim, like Rabbi Shmuel, that after chitim shtaris, even if the person is being chanuk, you're able to you're going to be high, even without a kinyan, you're able to obligate yourself. So what's the first question is, what's the svaras machlokes between the Bavli and Yishalmi? The second question is, what is Rabbi Yossi coming to tell us? L'chaira, it's hard to say that he's arguing, as we asked. It's hard to say that he's coming to explain, because the explanation that we're giving has nothing to do with his explanation would be have nothing to do with an Arif. And it's also hard to say that he's giving a chiddush based on Rabbi Yechanan's psak halacha, because the chiddush he's giving has nothing to do with an Arif. It would have to do with a new type of scenario. Okay, so going back to it. So to understand the Rebbe's answer, just to give a little hagdama, is that in order for a person, how does, in a regular case of a loiva, a loiva na malva, how does the loiva become obligated? What's the mechanics, the legal mechanics that makes the loiva obligated to pay back the malva? So the way I would work halachically is that when the malva gives the money to the loiva, when the loiva is koina, he acquires it's that money by the acquisition of the money from the malva, that obligates him to pay back the malva according to whatever the conditions of the loan were. Give him a little bit more details. In every transaction, you need to have two things. One, there needs to be a clear intent to obligate yourself in this particular transaction. Clear intent that you're agreeing to the deal, that you're obligating yourself in this transaction, or you're agreeing to the deal. For example, even if it's someone buying and selling, if it's not clear that the person's buying or the person's selling, then it's not a transaction. It has to be a very clear intent that the buyer means to buy and the seller means to sell. That's point one. It needs to be clear intention. The second thing that needs is that there needs to be some type of mechanism that actually causes the sale to happen. I might be very serious to buy your house. He might be very serious that he wants to sell his house. But unless there's some type of mechanism to actually cause that transfer, it's not going to happen. Even if he wants to gift it to me, I want to acquire the house. He wants to gift me the house. Unless I make some type of acquisition, a kinyan, it doesn't actually transfer over to my property. So you need those two things. So in the case of a regular loiva malva, the intent is very, what the intent and the transfer happens at the same time. When the money is transferred over to the rishus of the loiva, that makes it very clear. First of all, they have the kinyan. And also the intent is clear by him accepting the money, by the malva giving the money and the loiva accepting it, the intention is clear that they want this transaction to go through. The question is, how does this work by a arif? We have these two things. How does this work by an arif, by a guarantor? Because by a guarantor, l'chayra, he's not taking any money. He's not receiving anything. He's not making any type of kinyan, ever. Let's say by the time of Mashas Matan Mais. The kuldi al Mashas Matan Mais, when the money's being given, if he becomes an arif properly at the time of the loan, he's not actually making any type of kinyan. Okay, we have Machlokes the Bava Yishalmi if he becomes the guarantor later, if he has to make a kinyan or not. But definitely at the Shas, if he's there at the Shas at the Matan Mois and he agrees and he puts his name down before the Edom sign, he puts his name down, he's for sure going to be obligated. But he doesn't actually make any type of transaction. So what is making his, what's making him chayv? And the second thing is, how do we know that he has real intention? How do we know that his intent is really to be meshabed himself? And just to clarify an important point, the truth is an arv becomes an arv at the time when the loan's given. If as long as he becomes the arv before the loan is given, he does actually not, even if he doesn't even put his name into the shtar, he's actually also going to be chayv. The only difference would be is that if he puts his name into the shtar before the Edom sign, then you're able to collect from the nechasim shibadim, because then there's a call. But if he doesn't put his name into the shtar, so let's say he puts in it afterwards, he's there and he agrees to the loan, and he only puts his name in afterwards, or doesn't put it in at all, but there's Edom that know that he's the guarantor, then you're only able to collect from Mechayr, but he doesn't actually need to make a kinyan. So yeah, sometimes he puts his name in, and then if his name is in, you could say that the transaction happens because he puts his name into the document, and then Edom, fine. But even technically speaking, even if he's not in the document itself, as long as he agrees to become an Arv, B'Shas Matan Mois, he would become an Arv. The only thing is, you can only collect from the B'nai Chayr. So the question is, in this type of scenario, how does he become Meshubet? He's not making any Kenyan. That's one issue. And the other issue is, what's his intent? How do we know what his what his intent is. Maybe he's just trying to help this guy out. He says, "Oh, this guy needs a loan, so I'll help him out by saying that I'll be his guarantor, but I don't actually have any intention of paying this other guy's debt. I don't want to pay this other guy's debt." How do we know what his intention is? L'chaira, we can always argue that he could say, "I only wanted to help him. I never planned to pay his debt. I assumed he was going to pay his own debt himself. I assumed when I signed that he's for sure going to pay his own debt, and this is more like a technicality. You need to have someone sign, so I signed as the guarantor, or I agreed verbally that I was going to be his guarantor." So what actually makes this Arv Chayv? So there's two ways of learning it. So one way is the Ritva. So the Ritva learns that actually that has to do with the Hana. There's a certain Hana a person gets by becoming a Arb. As Rav Ashi tells us, he says, "The Hana that he gets, that he's trusted, he makes a complete shibud of himself." In other words, as the Ritva explains, that the idea of the Hana is similar to the idea of money. Just like money is considered a proper transaction, and when money is transferred from one person's hands to another hands, A, there's a kinyan, and B, the intention is very clear. Like, oh, you're getting something. You took the money. Let's say you're selling something, you took the money. So A, you made a kinyan by taking the money, and B, we know what your intention is because you took the money. So same thing over here. By you becoming an Arav, that's similar to, by this trust that you have, that you're being considered a trustworthy person, which especially a Bechla person enjoys to be considered a trustworthy person, a person likes to have a good reputation, but especially in business, to be considered someone that people trust, that's a very big pleasure. And therefore, a person will be Meshabed himself. So, in other words, we assume that the person is being Meshabed himself. So there's Kesef, it's similar to the idea of Kesef. So there's the intent, and then there is some value. The other way of learning it is like the Nemukah Yosef. So the Nemukah Yosef learns like this. He has like this. Kevad al piv hoitzi moisim tachzi yodai. Since through his words, money is being removed from the malveh, or the malveh is taking money and giving it to the leiva. Or he says, Alpha pishein sham kinyan. Therefore, even though there's no kinyan, ala bemir ba'am mishtabedly. Just with words, he's obligating himself. The matzi omer le'er malveh, because the malveh can tell him, im lo ha'yisi ata, if you were not here, I would never would have lent him. In other words, the Melukhi Yosef is saying that why this person is, what's obligating him? What's obligating is his words. Through the words of the Arav, that's causing this transaction to take place. It's only because there's an Arav, that's why the Malva is actually lending the money. So he's a party to this transaction. He says, it's because your words are what's causing this loan to happen. So this would be similar, in truth, to any type of, let's give you a much simpler example. If I go and I hire an electrician to go to the shul to put up a new chandelier for the shul, to fix something which is broken. I hired him, I tell him to go there, and then after he fixes it up, he sends me the bill. So am I able to tell him, look, you didn't actually do any services for me, you did it for the shul, go charge the shul. Obviously, I would not be able to do that because I'm the one that hired him. I was the one that told him to do it. It was my words that made him come to the shul and put up the chandelier or to fix the work, to fix the whatever electrical work was needed. So it's my words that caused everything to happen. So similarly over here, by a guarantor, the guarantor is chayev through his words. What's causing the kinyan? The kinyan is caused by his words. But deeper, it's not just his words. It's that his words is causing money to be removed from one individual to another. You're the one that's causing this transaction to happen. So therefore, since you're the one that's causing the transaction to happen, therefore, it's a person obligates himself. It's serious. Just like when I hire an electrician, since I'm the one that told him to go, even if he's not doing work for me, I'm the one that hired him. That means I'm taking the responsibility. It's clear that I am obligating myself. I can't say, oh, I was just asking you. I wasn't actually. No, of course you're obligating yourself. By hiring someone, by telling somebody to do some work, that means you're obligating yourself. That's clear to you, And it's clear to everybody else, similarly over here. When you're a guarantor and you're saying to give Reuven, give Shimon this loan and I'll guarantee it, you're the one that's causing this loan to happen. So you're basically telling Reuven to give the money over to Shimon. So therefore, you're the one that's causing this and therefore you're taking responsibility. So your words show that you're taking responsibility because your words are what's causing it. So this explains, this is the, so that based on this, we can understand really the machloek, the, oh, so what's the nafkamina? So the nafkamina between these two ways is in a situation where the money was already given. The Malva gave the money Leiva, and now he's choking him in the marketplace. And then the Arif comes and says, you know what, I'll be the guarantor. And there's no kinyan. Does he become the guarantor in this situation? So if the Vart, what's the cause of the Shibud? And what's the mechanism of the Shibud? Or in other words, the Lashon of the Rebbe earlier, and I believe this is the Dik of the Rebbe, the Rebbe says that the Plukta is the, what is the Geder V'Sibas HaShibud? So the Geder of the Shibud, if the Geder is money, that it's a Kinyan of Kesef, or Kinyan of Betzara Na, which is similar to Kesef, and the cause of the Shibud is because you're receiving this Kesef, is because there's a Na over here, then over here there's also Hana. Since there's also Hana that you are that you're saving this person is being strangled and you're saving him from being strangled, or maybe there's also a na that this individual trusts you and therefore he doesn't strangle this person. So that hana that you're receiving from saving this person's life or from this that people trust you, that hana is considered like kesef. And that causes you to actually obligate yourself in truth. Belev shalom, it's a true obligation. You're being obligating yourself with the lev shalom. So then you would be chayv, because A, you have the mechanism, which was the kinyan, with the hana, and you also have the cause. So you have the gather and you have the siba of the shibud. But if the reason why a person is mishabed himself is because you're the one that's causing this transaction to occur, so if you're the one causing the transaction, then it's your intent, the intention to obligate yourself is clear to everybody. But over here, l'chayra, it's not so clear because the person already lent money. So you're not the one causing this transaction to happen. The transaction already happened. This person is being strangled in the market. So is your intent very clear what you want to do? No, it very could well be that you're just trying to save this guy's life. You're not actually intending. You're not causing this transaction. You didn't cause the Malva to lose money. You're not the one that caused the Malva to lend this individual $10,000. If you're the one that caused them to lend the $10,000, then of course you're taking responsibility. But if you're not the one that's causing it, it's already been done, and now you're just saving this guy from being strangled, then the intent is not very clear that you're trying to obligate yourself. It could very well be that you're trying to just save this person. Therefore, you would not be chayv unless you made a kinyan. If you made a kinyan, then that's a real legal framework. That means you're really, that a kinyan shows that, a kinyan is basically saying you're making a legal, a strong legal claim that you're going to become this person's arif. But without the actual kinyan, then just with words alone, it won't be enough. So when do words alone help? If your words are actually causing the transaction to happen. But when you just have words, oh, I'm going to be chayiv, then since the words, those words won't have any power behind it because it's not causing anything to happen. And therefore, we do not know if you really actually had intent to obligate yourself. And just one important point I want to add. That was the opinion of the Mukha Yosef. That the Mukha Yosef adds that l'chayr, you could still have a problem. That we're saying is that since my words is causing, say the Arif, through his words, he's causing the loan to happen, he's causing the Malva to lend money to the Leiva. But l'chayr, so therefore he's chay, but l'chayr, maybe the Malva could still, the Arif can have a taina. The Arif can say that we have a concept which is called an asmachta. Nastachta means it's like a conditional type of obligation. And a conditional obligation doesn't work. It's not considered a kinyan. So this is actually giving you an example by gambling. One of the problems with gambling is that it's considered a smachta. If I win, I get the money. If I lose, then I'll pay you money. So when a person makes such a deal, it's conditional. And we have to look at the person's intent. If my intent was that for sure, it's 100% I know I'm going to win, that he never actually intended to actually obligate himself to pay. And that's one of the problems with gambling, because it's not always so clear what an intent was. Because it really depends on the type of bet. Like if I say, I'll bet you $1,000 that I'm going to walk 50 feet tomorrow, and then you take the bet, and then I lose because, I don't know, I get hit by a car. Well, I'll say myself, because Ruben gets hit by a car the night before in a freak type of accident, and he's in a coma for 3 weeks. And then after he wakes up, he's like, oh, you owe me $10,000 because you didn't walk the 50 feet. Then Reuven will obviously not be chayv because he never had any intent to pay, because obviously he's able to walk 50 feet. And he never thought there would be some type of freak accident that he wouldn't pay, that he wouldn't be able to walk. So that would be a type of asmachta that he never had any intention to pay. And you have similar types of things. Like, I promise if I don't pay you the 50 bucks I owe you at the end of the week, I'll pay you $10,000 in 2 weeks. Well, obviously, it's because I figure I could pay you the $50, because no normal person would say $50 by the end of this week or $10,000 at the end of 2 weeks. So these are types of conditional types of kinyans where the intent is clear that he had no intention of paying. But then you might have other scenarios where the intent's not so clear. It's a Super Bowl game. If the Rams win, I get money. If the Chiefs win, you get money. Sorry, the Chiefs or the Eagles. So that type of scenario, that actually would could you could say that the intent is clear that he is paying, because since I have no idea who's actually going to win, so my intention was, if I win, I get the money. If you win, you get the money. So you could argue that, at least in our society. In our society, when people make bets on Super Bowls, they know they only have a 50% chance of winning, and they know they're going to have to pay if they don't do it. If they lose. So unless their kids were, they don't have any intent, but we're usually adults that have intent. They make a bet. They plan on paying their bet. If not, they'll be ostracized. It's very embarrassing. So of course you're going to pay. So that's a type of asmachta that maybe would be kinda. So the point is that asmachta is only, so that would actually, that actually would not be considered an asmachta, I should say. If the asmachta is pirush, the pshat of an asmachta is it's a conditional thing where one of the individuals had no intention of actually making the kinyan. The intention of paying. So for my first example, that's an asmachta, and therefore it's not kaina. In my second example, in America, where people make bets on Super Bowls and everybody, or at least 99.99% of people pay if they lose, then the intent when you made that bet was that if you lose, you'll talk to pay. That's what we will assume, because that's what most people do. That's the minhag of Medina. So therefore, you would have intention, and therefore you would have to pay. So the question is, let's go to the case of Arv. When I became the Arv Kentina, that when I became a guarantor, I assumed the loiva was going to pay. I'm only becoming this guy's guarantor because I trust him. I trust this loiva that he's going to pay. So I became the guarantor, assuming that he's going to pay. Yes, I understand that I'm caught. The malva would not have given the money if it wasn't for me, but I never really obligated myself. I didn't you you're assuming that since I'm the one that's causing this loan to happen, that means of course I'm obligating myself, I'm taking responsibility. But the truth is, I'm not taking responsibility. I was assuming that the loiva was going to pay, and I was just helping him out. Is he able to give such a taina? So the Nemukah Yesef brings the same idea of Rav Ashi, that that with that that he's trusted, people are meshabed themselves. Meaning is that the hana means that people trust you and are able to do business with you, or that you're able to be part of society. The hana that you have a good reputation makes your intent clear. If you sign on a document saying you're being a guarantor in the society of the Gemara, and also the society today in America, if you don't pay, if the loiva can't pay and you don't pay, you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be considered an untrustworthy person, and no one will do business with you. So therefore, the hana of paying is much greater than the hana of not paying. So therefore, the hana of being a tr why? Because the hana of being trustworthy is worth it. So therefore, when you signed that document, we know your intent was to pay if something would happen. You can't say is that I'm causing Reuven to give Shimon the loan, but I never had an intention to pay because I assumed the loiva would, and I was just trying to really just help him out. No, when you sign on these types of documents, that means you're a trustworthy person, that people trust you, and you do not want to lose that trust. So the hana, to be considered a trustworthy person, that makes your intention very clear that you are going to obligate yourself in situations where when the loiva will not be able to pay his debt. Based on this, we can now explain the machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says that you need a kinyan, an Arif. after chitim shtaris needs a kinyan, while according to Yerushalmi, you don't need a kinyan. What's the svaras machlekes? The Bavli holds, like the Nemuka Yosef and the Rebbeinu Goyershem, that the Amira, this that your words are able to cause the transfer of funds from the Malva to the Loiva, you're meshabit yourself, you're taking responsibility, and you're obligating yourself to pay. And your intent is clear that you're going to pay because you want to be considered a trustworthy person. So medrum memorim, of course, only when it's b'sha salva, when the loan is because of you. But if it's when the person's being hung, someone's strangling the guy, then lav dafka, when the guy's literally being strangled, then maybe you're just doing it to save him. You're not the one causing it. It's very lav dafka that your intention is very clear. And the hana that you have, that you're able to protect this guy from being strangled, is not necessarily enough that that would be considered money. So according to the Bavli, the hana that you get from saving this person's life, or the hana that people trust you, even in these types of, like your word is so strong that even in these crazy types of situations where someone's being strangled and you're just trying to save that person's life, and you obligate yourself, your word is so gold to you that even then, you would obligate yourself. That, according to the Bavli, is not considered such a strong hana. Because I guess in most scenarios, even if you don't pay, people won't, look, a guy's a liar. Like, no, it's clear to people that he wasn't the one that caused the loan to happen. And it's clear to people the only reason you probably did it was just to save this guy's life. So that would not ruin your reputation enough, according to the Bavli, and therefore, that's not considered enough of hana that would be considered like kasef. The Rebbe does bring in Ha'ar 23, that there isn't, that even the Bavli would agree that if you're a guarantor of Beis Din, that Beis Din appoints you as a guarantor. I mean, you obviously have to agree, but Beis Din appoints you and trusts you to be a guarantor, that you're an Arav in Beis Din, that's considered a very strong level of trust. So even if this happens in Beis Din, where people are fighting, and then you come to Beis Din, and then you agree, that's considered a high level of trust. And then if you lie, that's you know, the Agma's nefesh and the loss of trust that would cause you would be very strong. And Mash Enkein, this that people, you know, you'd be trusted in the future would be very strong. Even the Bavli would agree that would be considered hana. That'd probably be similar to the hana. That would be considered hana. Mash Enkein, again, just when someone's being strangled, that would not be considered hana. The Lashon of the Rebbe is it's not klicha yafa to create this shibud by the Arv. The Arv is not going to agree to become a shibud just for this type of hana. So the only type which would work, you would have to have a proper amira where he's causing the transaction to happen, which would only be at the time of the matan mois when the money is being given. Shenken, later on, after the chitim shtaris and kolshken, if the guy's literally being strangled, then that would then it wouldn't be enough, and you need to have literally a kinyan, a real kinyan to obligate yourself. Shenken, according to the Yerushalmi holds that the Kabbalah's hana is enough. He holds that this Kabbalah Sana is enough. And therefore, even if it's after the Matan Mais, the Hana that you have to save this person, that he won't have any issues. And also the Hana that people would trust you, even in such, like you're such a trustworthy person, even in these types of scenarios, that is considered enough of Hana, that would be considered literally money by you, and therefore you would be Meshabed yourself. So that's the Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi. So based on this, or let's go a little bit deeper. What's the svars? What's the svars machlekes between the Bavli and Shami? Why does the Bavli hold that it's not enough of hana? This that people, you know, saving a person's life or whatever, or saving him from being hung, strangled. I'm sorry. According to Shami, it would be. So he says the machlekes is based on this idea of arvos, of achtus, and relationship, like community relationship. I guess you'd say like a community obligation or obligation, the sense of obligation that one person has for another person. In other words, that what is the idea of a guarantor? A guarantor is that you feel obligated to this loiva, that you need to help him out. So therefore, you will become an arv in order that the loiva should be able to get a loan. That only happens If I mean, practically, it only happens if you're family or you're best friends with the guy. No one else is going to be an R for you because they don't really care. The only ones that would put themselves in financial risk is family or super close friends. So that's where the idea of harvest comes from. Harvest comes from a feeling of mutual responsibility. And therefore, we see a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. We know the idea of Arvus, let's say with the Kol Yisrael of Reben Zel, is that you're able to help, and that you're responsible for another Yid's Ruchnius, and you're able to be Moitzeh another Yid, helping do his mitzvahs. For example, for Kiddush, you could be Moitzeh another Yid for a mitzvah, with Kiddush, and certain types of mitzvahs. This only happened once Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael. When the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, Kol Yisrael Reben Zel, is that you're responsible to make sure they do the mitzvahs, you're responsible to make sure they don't do Averis, you're responsible for each other. That only happened after they came into Eretz Yisrael. And even after the Churban Bais and people went into Galus, there was still a difference between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Meaning, is after we went into Eretz Yisrael, we're Arevim Zelazah, but there's still a difference in this level of Arevos, which is an Eretz Yisrael, Mash Inkin and Bavel. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there is a concept of a Tzibur, and therefore you're able to have a Tainus Tzibur in Eretz Yisrael. Mash Inkin and Bavel, there's ain't Tainus Tzibur but Bavel, and the reasoning is because in Tainus Tzibur, they don't have the same level of Achdus. It's the lashon of the Rogashavar that they became a metzias achas b'chol aleim arvus. So even after they went to Eretz Yisrael and there was a general type of arvus, nonetheless there's a greater level of achas and arvus which in Eretz Yisrael, which makes them into a tzibur even regarding the other halachas regarding tani tzibur. So therefore, also over here, the level of obligation achas he didn't feel in Eretz Yisrael is much greater than above. Therefore, in Bavel where the achas is weaker. So the level of responsibility is not strong enough that you feel so obligated to basically take an obligation upon yourself just to help or to save your friend that's being choked, or that matters to you so much the opinion that others have that when you're saving someone from being choked that like, oh, he's trustworthy even in that scenario. Your arvus is not that, your actus on arvus and your feeling part of the community is not as strong. So A, your care for the second yid, and B, I guess what other people think of you that much. It's not as important. Ashenk and Eretz Yisrael, where they had such a deep level of arvus, the pain, this that you're seeing a yid being choked, that's enough to obligate you. Like, you're responsible. You have to save this yid in such a scenario. You'll even obligate yourself to pay in order to save him. And also this that you want people to trust you. You will obligate yourself because you want people to trust you. The level of arvus and achdus is so strong in Eretz Yisrael that you will do that. So therefore, in Bavel, where the level of arvus is not so strong, your words aren't going to be enough to obligate yourself. Words aren't enough. Dana isn't enough. Rather, it would have to be a kinyan mamish. You make a kinyan mamish, that shows you're serious. Ashenkin in Yishalayim in Eretz Yisrael, where the achdus is much stronger, the hana of helping another yid, that's enough to actually obligate yourself. Not enough to obligate yourself. And of course, the lesson is al derech hamusar that in the Yishalmi it tells us that all kuma achashlema, that all the yidden are kuma achashlema, they're really all one body. So therefore, because we're all one body, that's where we're able to feel tsar of another yid. We're also able to have pleasure for helping another yid, and that's dafka, and more specifically in Yerushalayim, Ashenkin in Bavel, where that's on a lower level. That's the sikha from Sif Aleph to Sif, the end of Sif Vav. And Sif Zayin to the end is a very geshmaka siyim, where the Rebbe explains some of the ideas beruchnias, where I'm just going to really do it bekitzur, just so you have the general idea. But the Diyukim L'Shoinis, you should look inside for all the Diyukim the Rebbe gives. So the Rebbe just tells us that we know that Bava Kamma, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra is really one Masechta. It's called Masechta's Nezikim. It's just been split into three. And the idea of Nezikim, Beruchnius, is the idea of Golos, where there's things that damage us and hold us back from serving Hashem. And the Indian of learning Masechta's Nezikim is that through learning Torah, you're eating the Vata, the things that disturb us from learning Torah. And in general, the zikin, that is the idea of galus, is the things that damage us from our avodas Hashem. And limud, the sachas in the zikin, is the inyan of geula. And therefore, we have three mesachtas in the zikin, because there's three geulas, and there's three bate mikdashes. But the truth is, all these three bate mikdashes is really one base in mikdash. It's really one geula. It's all really, by essence, the same thing. And that's why it's really Chana Masechta. So it's split into three different periods of time. But the truth is, all three periods are really one inyan. It's one inyan of geula. That's also why, in the beginning of Baba Basra, it speaks about Hazagriya, where neighbors are looking at each other and they need to put up mechitzas in order to block the damage. Which baruchnis means is that there's a mechitza between Hashem. It's in terms of nezik, in terms of galus, the mechitza between us and Hashem. But the Messiah of Masechta talks about the idea of arvus, which is the idea of achdus and responsibility. And the idea is that after you finish Masechta Baba Basra, the Siyam of Masechta Basra is meramez, and it's megala the connection and the achdus of Hashem and the Yidden. That even though we might not have acted properly in the times of galus, Hashem becomes our arv, becomes our guarantor. And he says, even though you owe so much to the klipas and you did so many things that you shouldn't have, Hashem will guarantee, which means he'll give us the kaychus and the capabilities to make sure that we're able to get out of debt and to go into the geula. And this is the biopnimi of the argument between the Bavli and Yishalim. And the time is at the end of the galus when the chayshach kafal mechupal, it's the worst time. That's the idea of being strangled. It's the time of strangling in galus. It's mamish, a very dark galus. And the halacha is, though, af b'chonik, even when being strangled, the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, and you're able to become an arv. The idea is that even in the deepest times of galus, Hashem will become a guarantor. That's why Rabbi Shmuel says Rabbi Shmuel was a kayin, or according to some, he's a kayin. Not even ish chesed. The halacha is Rabbi Shmuel. The halacha is that he's an ish chesed, that Hashem will help us. And the machlok between the Bavli and Yishalmi is so much we have to, how much we need to demand this of Hashem. According to the Bavli, the Choshech of Galus is very strong, and the Achdus and the Avos that we have with Hashem is very hidden. So therefore, in order to connect Hashem to us, to reveal Hashem, it needs a real Kinyan. Which he says, we need to demand by Hashem, manden by the Hashem, that he should arayin legin, he should put himself into the matz of Yisrael, and he should meshabit himself. So in other words, according to the Bavli, since our connection is much more hidden, it takes a much greater effort to reveal Hashem and to become, for Hashem to become an Arv, needs more effort. That's the idea of Manik. Ashenkar and Terah Yisrael, which is the Indian of R, the connection that Hashem is much more revealed. Therefore, all we really need to do is remind Hashem about the tzar that we're having. And through just mentioning to Hashem, already Hashem will become our Arv. The Rebbe says this is the idea of saying Ad Masai. It's this idea of saying Ad Masai. That's the idea of connects with Dafka to the Indian of Yishlan. And all you're saying is Ad Mothers. You're davening and you're having a tefillah of Ad Masai, that reminds Hashem. And through this, we'll bring Sheikh Zikenu, Yibana Migdash, Shlishi, Habasra, Mukaymai, God, Liya, Kvayt, Habais, Hazah, Achri, Minarishan, Behera, Beyomenu, Mamish.
Just wanted to quickly do R18 with you. R18 tells us, Elias Maram is, I believe, a third way of understanding how the Shibud of the Arv works. And the third way is that the Arv is similar to the Loiva. That when the Malva lends the money and it's based on the guarantee of the Arv, of the guarantor, it's as if the Malva is actually giving the money to the guarantor. And how is the guarantor using the money? He's using the money by letting the Loiva use it. So it's as if the Malva is giving the money to the guarantor, and the guarantor is telling him, don't give me the money directly, give it to the loiva, I'm going to let him be using it. By you giving it to the loiva and the loiva using it, it's as if you've given it to me and I'm using it. And there's just a condition in the loan that when you come to collect, first go to the loiva to collect it, and if he can't pay, I'm going to pay it. So according to this way, the way how the shibud is working is similar to really how it works with any loiva. That the malva is giving the loiva, giving the arv the loan, he's giving him kesef. And by him, by his shliach, meaning the loiva receiving, being zoicha in the kesef, it's as if the arv was zoicha in the kesef, and therefore he would be obligated to pay because he, of course, has intent by accepting the kesef, and there's also a kinyan of kesef, and therefore you would have to pay it back eventually. The only thing is that part of the loan is the conditional that he has to first go to the loiva first. And what's the nafkimina between this third way and the other two ways we mentioned? So the Rebbe says, the difference would be in a scenario where, let's say, Reuven tells Shimon to throw money into the sea, and I'll pay you back. Throw the money into the sea, and I'll pay you back. So if the Vart, let's go through the options. If the idea is, why am I mishabed myself to pay? It's because of the pleasure that you, let's say, in this scenario, is that you're listening to me, and you're actually doing what I want, so then of course you'd be chayv. You, for whatever reason, enjoy me throwing money into the river, So therefore, you'll be chayav to pay me back. According to the second option is that it's because of my words. My words are obligating to me because my words is causing you to lose money. My words is causing you to throw money into the yam. So that means my words are serious. And therefore, I'm taking responsibility. And again, of course, I would be chayav. But if the way how it works is that it's by giving it to the loiva, it's as if I'm receiving the money, and therefore I'm going to become obligated. But over here, you never gave it to anybody. You never gave it to Ben Das. So the loiva has, let's say in this case, the money, and then he throws into the yam. So when did the guarantor ever receive it? He never did. I asked you to throw it into the yam. You threw it into the yam. I didn't receive it. The loiva, who would be my agent, didn't receive it. So therefore, I won't be chayav to pay you because I never actually received the money. So in the first two cases, where the obligation comes either because of the hana, so then you receive the hana, and therefore you mishabit yourself. According to the second one, that it has to do with, it's because the amira, my words are obligating me, because my words are showing that this is something which is serious. And we know that a shibud can happen, doesn't necessarily need to be through one of the more traditional ways of kinyan, like hagabar, mashicha. Technically, it works by meaning a medina. Therefore, like let's say by diamond jewelers, diamonds, that when by that industry, sales are made just by the shaking of the hand. So once you shake your hand, it's as if it's sold, and you can't change your mind. That's considered a kinyan. That's considered a full transaction, even though there was no technical kinyan, but that's a transaction. So similar over here, by guarantors, what's considered a shibud, what's considered the end of this transaction? Your words. So your words are able to obligate yourself. But according to the third option, what's actually happening is that by my shliach, or in this case, the loiva receiving the money, it's as if I'm receiving the money and I'm using the money, but over here, my shliach didn't receive it. I never received it. I never used the money. So therefore, I would not be obligated to pay it back. That is the end of our 18.